Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Buzz around artificial intelligence is seemingly everywhere. Is your portfolio keeping up? Consider the GlobalX Artificial Intelligence and Technology ETF, ticker AIQ, which invests in dozens of stocks at the leading edge of this disruption. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. Technology companies can be affected by rapid product obsolescence and intense industry competition. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and more in the full or summary prospectus at globalxetfs.com. Read carefully. Distributed by SEI Investments Distribution Co.
Today's episode, we're going to talk about cryptocurrencies and the changing world order. Enjoy! Welcome to The Age of Jeremy. My name is Jeremy Quintanilla. I am the founder and CEO of Q Consolidated Limited. We focus on investing and creating businesses in media and entertainment, finance, investing, and insurance, education and e-learning, art, music, and the humanities, earth and human sustainability and advancement, and earth and space exploration and transportation. Our businesses include 3T Warrior Academy, Q Financial, Age of Radio, and Merlin, the smartest way to track your crypto, just to name a few. You can find me on all socials at Age of Jeremy, except on X, it is Age of Jeremy Q, and on Facebook, it is Cesar Jeremy Quintanilla. There are links in the episode description. You can also check out the videos that I have and listen to this podcast on the Age of Jeremy YouTube as well. And don't forget the blog posts when I do them occasionally, maybe once a year at ageofjeremy.com. If you are new to this podcast, this is all about the trials and tribulations I go through to build my business empire, and I hope you pick up some wisdom along the way. I also have guests that share their trials and tribulations, becoming content creators, and the adventures that they have gone through to become entrepreneurs. We will have a new one coming out hopefully this week or next week. If you want to see Coach JV's financial blueprint, there is a link in my link tree in the episode description. It's a warrior's guide to financial freedom, absolutely free. Please also join my dope updates channel in my Age of Jeremy Instagram account. I provide extra insight on the things that I have going on in business and in my life. Hopefully you will find some wisdom in it. And again, it is also free to join. And we are really spending a lot of time on building a strong community in our Age of Radio platform. You can follow us on or join our Addicted to Podcasting Facebook group on Facebook. Just type in Addicted to Podcasting Facebook group or Addicted to Podcasting. There's also a link in the episode description. We also have our Discord. We have hired a community manager, creator Trey. He is not only doing a fantastic job, he is also putting Discord little nuggets on how to use Discord, things that work great in Discord. And he is just really kicking ass. And I'm really excited to see where we're going to be taking this amazing community of podcast lovers and content creators. Essentially, the Discord is focused on being a place where content creators and their audiences can come together if they don't have their own platform, even if they do, to have another platform to talk with other members, learn about other podcasts, learn about other things that are going on. And the Facebook group does kind of the same thing to some extent. We do have some lives going out in our Facebook group for Addicted to Podcasting. So make sure that you follow both of those to be a part of our growing community. In total, we have over close to 700 members. Some of those bleed back and forth between the two. But in our Addicted to Podcasting Facebook group, there's about 600 and I want to say 30. So you know what? I guess I'll say we'll have about 630 in total. And we're really focusing on creating more engagement and growing the Discord as well. So we're trying to get everybody over into that Discord. Or if you're not in either, come and join both of them. There are links in the episode description below. The other thing that I want to let you guys know is that if you have questions about taxes, or you have questions about life insurance, or you have questions about bookkeeping, there is a link in this episode description to fill out a financial consultation form. It's a little bit to get to know kind of what's going on that you want help with, and you will get a link to my calendar. I will sit down with you for a free 30-minute consultation and go over what might be some options for you. It can be about taxes, bookkeeping, businesses, investments, and or life insurance, or in your insurance needs, or specifically life insurance needs. That is part of our Q Financial business. I know that was a lot of stuff, and you're not really here for that. You're here for the episode, but I encourage you to reach out if you have any questions for that as well. So let's get this show on the road. First, before I jump into today's article, I do want to say I am losing my voice because I had an amazing time at the Canelo and Munguia fight, but I was actually losing my voice before that. I'm losing my voice because I had such an amazing time at XRP Las Vegas, brought on by none other than Digital Perspectives. Brad Garlinghouse from Ripple was there. David Schwartz from Ripple was there. There were all kinds of influencers, from digital asset investor to Coach JV, who's also my business partner, and he was here with, there with us. But with Coach JV, we had, there was a Bank XRP I got to meet. What a fantastic, fantastic guy. Echo to Truth was there. Love hanging out with that guy. That was the first time I believe that I met him in person. We do have Zoom calls with him. We do talk to a lot of these influencers. There was Mikkel, I think, is an up-and-coming crypto influencer. If you want to check him out, I think it's Mikkel. And then BC Backer was there. All the people that are usually at these types of events were all there. It was amazing. Got to see some of my friends from the Link2 family. Got to see my friend Ray, who I'm going to try to get on the podcast and talk about his journey of being a content creator and being in a community engagement. I just got to set that up. I have so much shit going on in my life, and I'm going to be heading out to Virginia to hang out with my beautiful family, my cousin and her husband and their kids. I'm super, super excited to see them as well. Just life is really, really good. And I can only say that it's only good because of the Nembutsu. I know that sounds weird. That's like when people say that it's only good because of God. But I feel if you work on yourself harder than anything else, just like my good friend Coach CJV says, you will be blessed because you are changing your aura, you're changing your alignment, and it's all part of growing. And if you're working on that and you're being a better person, then I think that the world will, you will draw amazingness to you. You become a magnet and you become attractive to all of the great things that the life has to offer. And if you want to talk more about that, then you can reach out to me and we can just chit chat on that on X or on Threads or on Snapchat. I wish people would hit me up on Snapchat, but it's okay if no one's hitting me up on Snapchat. I get it. All right. So I just want to say thank you to everybody, the Merlin family. We had a fantastic time. Our booth was amazing. And I'm going to be at Phoenix Fan Fusion. I know that we're jumping from crypto. I just thought about this because of a conference. I'm going to be going to Phoenix Fan Fusion. We're going to be going live from Cause Talk Live. I think at Phoenix Fan Fusion, I believe that Thermo is going to be super, super busy. We don't have a table. I tried to get one. Try to get a table for Tucson Comic Con. However, I do have a table for UWU, which is a new one in Arizona. It's called UWU. And I just realized that I got a chocolate cream for this coffee. I'm going to crack this bad boy. Let's do a little bit of ASMR here. I don't know what that sounded like. I guess I'll have to listen to it in post. But I'm going to take a drink of this bad boy. Thermo Cosplay is going to be there. She's going to be competing. I'm actually going to, Age of Radio is going to sponsor one of the awards, I think. I'm working on that right now. But again, I have so much stuff going on. There's so much amazing stuff. I just like talking about it with everybody because I'm super, super blessed. And I feel good because I think it's because I was just lacking some vitamins. I was lacking some rest. I was lacking some wellness and relaxation. I could go on and on about all the cool shit that happened in Las Vegas. And I will on one of the lo-fi episodes. But that's not what this episode is about. This episode is about what's going on in business and investing and keeping you up to date. And the first thing that I want to talk about is this Business Week article, I guess, Asia's retail investors hunt for fabled crypto riches. This is written by Claire Ballantyne. If you don't have a business, Bloomberg's Business Week subscription, make sure that you get one. I really need to find out if they have a fucking affiliate link. Excuse my language. I think that they probably do. You know what? I'm on the website right now. I'm going to scroll down to this bad boy and see it. Oh my God. Why is this website so long? The hell is going on? Bloomberg Green Festival, July 10th through the 13th, 2024, Seattle, Washington. Get your tickets now. I don't know why I said that. Economic calendar. I need to save that page. I needed that earlier. Submit a tip. The Big Tape newsletters, commodities, rates. Ooh, how many newsletters do they have? Probably have a shit ton of newsletters. You know, fuck it. This is, excuse my language. This is going to be easier if I just go on here and just type in Bloomberg affiliate link. Speaking of affiliate links, I think Creator Trey told me that I needed to get an affiliate link for something, and here I am. Bloomberg Radio affiliates. Bloomberg Business Week affiliate program through Flex Offers. I don't know. I'll check on this later. Who gives a crap right now when I need to tell you about where the hell the article go? Jesus. I'm gone for 1 week. This whole show falls apart. All right. Oh my God. This isn't even the right article in any way whatsoever. Retirement funds deepen roots in India's booming bond market. Actually, India is something I'm going to talk about later. Okay. Asia's retail investors hunt for fabled crypto riches. Everyday traders are betting on digital assets in unique ways, from South Korea and the Philippines to Hong Kong and Australia. And the reason why I believe that is because it's such a low cost barrier to entry. Because of the fact I just bought some Casey's stock. I think it was Casey's stock. Bought some Casey's. Actually, no. I bought some more. Well, I do own Casey's stock. I bought the last stock that I bought was Casey's stock. It is the most amazing convenience store with the best pizza in any convenience store in the Midwest. You need to check out Casey's. That is the stock that you should buy, especially with the price of gas going up. They have amazing food. It's going to be the place that people stop. They're going to have a good time at Casey's. I should be sponsored by Casey's. But point is, I bought that stock. I think it's like $231. You can buy crypto for 15 cents. That's the reason why people are going into crypto, because when we got into XRP, it was what, 15 cents or something along those lines. It's now 50 cents, 40 cents, going back and forth, trying to find a good stable ground somewhere in between there. And so that's my point. That's why so many people are getting into cryptocurrency, because it's, you can buy a lot of it for a little bit. Okay. And if that it skyrockets, or if you find a winner, then you're going to change your life. So even after a recent pullback, cryptocurrencies are some of the best performing assets this year, and demand from Asia Pacific retail investors has been a major engine of the rally. There's a lot going on in this region. Hong Kong just listed a batch of cryptocurrency exchange traded funds, and Australia plans to bring the products to the country's largest stock market. Singapore, meanwhile, is racing to become a hub for digital currencies, while elsewhere, esports and Web3 blockchain technologies are soaring in popularity. The other great thing about Bloomberg's, again, I'm not an affiliate of Bloomberg. I wish that I was. You could sign up under through me. I can make some money. You could maybe get a discount. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to find that. But the other thing that's great about Bloomberg is they have Bloomberg Crypto. So if you head on over to Bloomberg Crypto, you can get some really good journalistic opinions on cryptocurrencies and investment opinions on cryptocurrency. Now, cryptocurrency, it comes after crypto's credibility was, or all of this about the soaring popularity of cryptocurrency. It comes after crypto's credibility was boosted globally when US regulators finally greenlit exchange traded funds that invest in Bitcoin. The January decision helped rehabilitate the assets class after a crypto winter. In 2022, that saw a series of scandals, bankruptcies, and Bitcoin price drops 64%. Still, this year hasn't been without volatility. The largest token slumped almost 16% in April as the mania for the US ETFs flatlined after early lifting the token to a record high of almost 74,000 in March. Some investors in Asia are longtime enthusiasts who have already weathered the ups and downs, while others recently jumped in. In places ranging from South Korea to the Philippines and Australia, small-time traders have built unique ecosystems. The region as a whole, this is a quote, the region as a whole has always been an early adopter and taken strongly to Web3 technology, said Leigh Callan Butler, director of Mpharsis, a Web3 advisory firm based in the Philippines. Outsiders tend to lump Asia into one bucket as one homogeneous region, and that's a very big mistake if you seek to truly understand how and why crypto is taking off here. So right now, more and more money is going into cryptocurrencies because of the Asian Pacific region. And so that's super important because a lot of people in the United States and still around the world still aren't even into cryptocurrency. So that means that this is a prime time to keep dollar cost averaging. And this is me talking, not from the article. It's a really prime time to keep dollar cost averaging into the cryptocurrencies and into the crypto, even if they're meme coins or shit coins or whatever, whatever your plan of or strategy is, keep dollar cost averaging into them because there is still money going into this market, which means as we come into the back end of this year, which we have been saying, CJV has been saying, I've been saying, the Academy has been saying, some other people, I believe Mark Yesko even said it on our Merlin X Spaces that we had last, is that money is still going to be coming into this economy. So at the back end of the year, we're going to see Bitcoin kind of take off. And so we're going to see something similar of when the last halving happened. So in South Korea, traders are among the most fervent in the world. I met some gentlemen from Seoul at the XRP Las Vegas. They're doing a AI technology called MoAI, I believe is what it's called. So you should check that out. So the traders in South Korea are among the most fervent in the world. In fact, the country's yuan just supplanted the US dollar as the most used currency for trading in and out of crypto tokens. Smaller tokens known as altcoins are especially popular, accounting for 80% of Korean exchanges volume compared with roughly 50% on global platforms, according to CryptoQuant data. Retail investors are also known for their love of crypto-based esports, which reward players with crypto or non-fungible tokens known as NFTs. This year, South Korean gaming companies like Nexon Games Co. and NC Softcore are slated to release new play-to-earn games, said Charles Pyo, founder and CEO of AI3, a Seoul-based, and Seoul is S-E-O-U-L, Seoul-based firm enabling enterprise adoption of Web3 and artificial intelligences. Or artificial intelligence. Regulators in South Korea have stepped up scrutiny of the sector after the collapse of digital tokens created by Terraform Labs co-founder Do Kwon. Last year, the country's parliament passed a bill to boost investor protection, which allows officials to oversee crypto operators and asset custodians. There's also the Philippines. The Philippines in recent years, Web3 games like Axie Infinity and Pixels have gained immense popularity in the Philippines. For instance, guilds or groups that play games together are known to earn NFTs and other rewards. Internet cafes have popped up for groups to come together in real life. One guild called Yield Guild Games has grown so much that it's now transitioned into building Web3 protocols and helping other guilds around the world. So the gaming sector in NFT is still going to be boosting. You also have Hong Kong, you also have Australia, and you also have Japan and India. Let's talk about Japan. The Japanese government is trying to grow Web3 companies as part of its broader plans to reinforce the economy. It has moved toward easing crypto rules on listings, taxation, and allowing venture capital firms and other investment funds to hold crypto directly. Nomura Holdings, Inc., and other financial firms are also pushing to grow Japan's market for securities tokens, a kind of real world asset coin, which turn corporate bonds, securitized real estate, and other financial products into coins. But overall, regulations are still viewed as strict. For instance, mutual funds can't hold crypto, including Bitcoin ETFs. There's also India, which is another country I'm going to talk about later. There's Singapore, there's Taiwan, and there's Thailand, and there's Vietnam. Go and check out this article. If you don't believe in cryptocurrency and it growing and that economy getting stronger and stronger, even the Web3 economy getting stronger and stronger, see, the problem is we're in this all the time, so it seems so weird to us that other people don't see it, but other people aren't getting the information that we're getting inside of the Academy. People aren't living it. They're not researching crypto. They're not understanding the NFTs. They're not in the gaming space. If you're not in the space, then you're not going to know anything that's going on. That's why it's important for us to get that word out so other people can take advantage as this economy grows, because this economy, this digital economy, is going to get stronger and stronger. If you think Cyberpunk 2077 is just a video game, yes, the concepts in it and the way that it works is just a video game. But the fact that things are going to be digital and we are going to move more towards a cyberpunk functioning society in the future, you need to be involved with these types of digital assets. So make sure that you read the rest of that article. So much information in it. Make sure that you get a subscription to Bloomberg. Bloomberg should pay me some money because I'm touting that. So go get them. Go send them a letter. Tell them, hey, you need to be on Age of Jeremy. You need to get him an affiliate link, at least something, because I talk about it all the time. I love Bloomberg Business Week. I love Bloomberg, the company. Now, whether you think whatever you think about Michael Bloomberg, I don't really give a shit. My point is from a journalistic perspective, Bloomberg does a really, really good job. So make sure you check it out. We're going to go to some commercials right now and we'll be right back.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Is crypto perfect? Nope. But neither was email when it was invented in 1972. And yet today, we send 347 billion emails every single day. Crypto is no different. It's new, but like email, it's also revolutionary. With Kraken, it's easy to start your crypto journey with 24/7 support when you need it. Go to kraken.com and see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Cryptocurrency services are provided to U.S. and U.S. territory customers by Payward Ventures, Inc., PVI, DBA, Kraken. Visit PVI's disclosures at kraken.com/legal/disclosures.
All right, welcome back. I want to talk today about the changing world order, and I want to talk about the new world order and all the scary things that we think about when we hear that. And Ray Dalio is an American investor and hedge fund manager who served as a co-investment officer of the world's largest hedge fund, Bridgewater Associates, which he also founded in 1975. He was born in Dallas, in New York. I'm sorry, he was born in Dallas, New York. Jesus. Dalio was born in New York City and attended CW Post College of Long Island University before receiving an MBA from Harvard Business School in 1973. Again, another testament to the fact that most billionaires have degrees and sometimes advanced degrees. Okay, but we're not going to go there on this episode. I just want to change that narrative around wealth and education. Now, that being said, Ray Dalio has a couple of books. One of my favorite books by him is Principles. It talks you through how he created principles for his business, principles that he lives by, and then helps you kind of construct those for yourselves, for yourself, which I have personally done. One of the other books that he has is called A Changing World Order. And essentially the book highlights the things that happen in a society or in an economic system as it goes through becoming new, to its peak, to its downfall, to the new one coming in. A lot of the people think that the United States of America will be the number one superpower in the world for, you know, I don't know, ever. And it's not always the case. We haven't been around that long. And one of the things that Americans are ignorant of is their ability to understand the concept of time, and that we are right now, and that the United States is just a little blip so far in the middle of time, and a lot of things can happen and change. And so CJV was talking about Ray Dalio this morning on one of his TikTok posts. And I wanted to go over a little bit of, because it has this beautiful chart. You can look up the chart online. Just type in Ray Dalio's The Changing World Order chart. And essentially it talks about a new order, the rise of that order, the top of that order, and the decline of that order. And my guess is that this can continuously happen in cycles over over a country's life, or an economic system's life, or a superpower's life. And I wanted to deep dive a little bit of these, because I think that it's important to note that we're probably going to be shifting into a separate time where there's going to be other superpowers and new world orders that are coming into being. And a lot of times when we hear New World Order, it's a bad thing. But the phrase just literally means the changing dynamics of global economic power. And so those that the change, the New World Order means that there is going to be just a change in superpowers inside of the world for the most part. So we can think of China's rise. China's rapidly growing. It's expected to surpass the United States in economic terms. By 2050, the top five largest global economies are likely to be China, India, US, still Brazil, and Indonesia, based off of some information that I got from artificial intelligence and some information that I got off of Line. Okay. Now there's also a conspiracy theory known as the New World Order. And this is a conspiracy theory where people believe that a secretive group of powerful elites is working behind the scenes to establish a dystopian global governing structure. In this scenario, dissidents or people that are not in agreement with it would be arrested and the masses would be enslaved. So I want to state here that while I associate with a lot of people in my life that are into deep diving and into conspiracy theories, I myself do not really deep dive into conspiracy theories, and I am just being open and honest about me personally. I've studied Freemasonry. People say that there's secret inner orders of the Freemasons, and yes, there are. I've been a part of the Golden Dawn. I've been a part of BOTA, which is another occult organization. I've been associated with Aleister Crowley's association, and studied his works and his books in my lifetime. Do I think that there is satanic worship in these things? Of course not. They are occult practices, to gain hidden knowledge inside of the world. None of the things that I have been involved with in my life and with these organizations and associations has led me to believe that, at least with these groups of people, that there are any inner teachings and inner workings that are creating some type of secret new world order or society. And my guess would be, if you believe those things, then you may believe that I also am involved with those things and I am not. Now, that being said, do I think that there are people that do secretive practices? Yes, that are possibly trying to push the world to further their specific agenda for their specific family. Absolutely, of course, because that's what we all do. That's specifically what I do when I have go out and I try to move people for and sell an ideology or an idea. One of those ideologies that I'm currently proposing is I think that one of the biggest narratives that we have right now that is splitting society and going to be continuing splitting society, and I don't think that it's going to be good for society, is that people should not be furthering their education into college. Do I think that someone should be judged for not going to college? Absolutely not. I do not think that in any way whatsoever. Do I think that people can get wealthy by not going to college? Absolutely 100%. But 84% of the known wealthiest individuals in the world, or at least in the United States, I can't remember if it's the world or the United States, have at least a bachelor's degree. Education, no matter what you think of it, is not designed to, in the college system, designed to indoctrinate you in a specific way. It's designed to get you educated in a specific field so that you can go and further that field or find a career where you can add that field to whatever it is that corporation or that government's trying to do. It's plain and simple like that. I don't think that there is a small group of evil-minded people pushing their fingers together saying, oh, we need to talk about this in school so everybody is anti-Islamic, or people are anti-Palestine, or people are anti-gay or for gays or whatever the case is. It is a place where people do research from a public perspective so that we can further our existence on this planet. That is what is actually happening in colleges and universities. And I encourage people to continue to go to college and universities as much as possible. Someone recently said, you know, that, you know, well, you know, maybe people don't need a high school education. And they would use me as an example. They don't need the high school education that they're being taught in the actual schooling systems. And they used me as a reference saying, well, Jeremy dropped out of high school. He didn't, you know, but To my counterpoint to that was I went and got my GED, and I still was very fond of the curriculum that they were teaching inside of the high school. My problem with high school was that it was super fucking boring for me, and I needed to go and do something else and challenging. Unfortunately, I did probably the opposite of what I should have done and kept going in academia because that is where my true passion is, and not had gotten sidetracked with drinking and sex and women and all of that shit, and would have gone to college and done a better job. And then I added that I did do 7 years of college after I got my shit together to get 2 bachelor's degrees and a master's. And so for me, it hurts my heart because I have been able to change my life because of education in the right college education by getting a degree in finance, getting a degree in accountancy, and getting a degree in a business administration. And I'm still going to continue to further and learn more and more and more and probably get more and more degrees and do more and more stuff with life. Life isn't a life. While it is finite, learning is not a finite thing that should happen inside of life. And so anyway, point being is that, so me, that's what I'm going to push that narrative to people, because that is something that I truly believe in. Do I think that wealthy people are doing that? 100%. Do I think that wealthy people oppress different classes and we have a class society? 100%. But as far as a new world order of evil geniuses running the world, I personally don't believe that. And I don't, even through the research that I have done on it, don't fully see evidence of that type of conspiring at a global level. Do I think that wealthy people are trying to push us in a specific way? Absolutely. Do I think that they're doing it in a way where they think that they're doing the best for mankind? Absolutely. Because I would do the exact same thing if I was in that situation. During the 20th century, political figures like Woodrow Wilson and Winston Churchill used the term New World Order to describe a period characterized by significant changes in world political thought and global power balance after World War I and World War II. I also am a visionary. I believe maybe not as much as I would like to. I'm a visionary in the sense that I believe that eventually we will be a multiplanetary species. And I believe at some point we will have to have world order or some type of world governing board to make decisions on our planet that will affect decisions for this planet, as opposed to what might be happening on other planets. So planets will eventually be thought of as the way that we think of countries, and we will need to have some type of governing board to govern that in a democratic way. And I think to have that democratic way, real quick plug here on cryptocurrency, I think that the blockchain is going to help us usher in the ability to do that. Now, that being said, back to the changing world order, the things that Ray Dalio talks about is 100% accurate. And the reason why I want to bring this up is because if we look at the new order starting and the new order failing, and thinking of it in the sense of a bell curve, and a bell curve is just, you know, a curve that goes up and comes down kind of like a bell. When we think of that in that capacity, when we think of a new order, these are the 8 things that is consistent in a new order. There's going to be strong leadership. There's going to be inventiveness. There's going to be a growth and a change in education, or a stronger education. We're going to have really strong culture. We're going to have great resource allocation. We're going to have good competitiveness. We're going to have strong income growth, and we're going to have strong markets and financial centers. These are things that have been in the United States for a long period of time. And a lot of people think that a lot of these things are waning. And so when we get to the top, we're going to see things, the country is going to become less productive, which could be seen through GDP. It's going to be overextended. It's going to have larger debts, losing competitiveness. It's not going to be as competitive as it once was. And there's going to be a large wealth gaps, which we are starting to experience in the United States. And in some of the other, I guess, larger economies that we have now. And so as we get to the decline of the order, we're going to see large debts, United States. We're going to see lots of printing of money, the United States. We're going to have a lot of internal conflict that's starting to happen now because of, say, you know, the polarizingness of the right and the polarizingness of the left. We're going to have loss of reserve currency, which is starting to happen. We're going to have weak leadership, which our leadership is, we're all fucking doomed. And I don't, and just so you all know, I fucking hate Trump just as much as I fucking hate, I shouldn't say hate. I am not, let me go back. I don't hate people. I do not understand people's appeal to Trump. Now, I can understand people's appeal to Trump when they dive into weird ass conspiracy theories, hands down, that he's going to be some fucking savior, which is the stupidest shit I've ever heard in my life. And so I'm just blatantly saying that right now. And so Trump's an idiot. Biden is not an idiot, but Biden shouldn't be where he is at. And he's making, I don't think he's making the best decisions because he is older. And I am not sure that he's 100% surrounded by the smartest people in the room, but I do believe he's smart. He's surrounded by much better individuals than Trump was surrounded by, based off of the fact that all the people that Trump was surrounded by just turned on him. So there's obviously no loyalty there whatsoever. So all around we have weak leadership, and then there's going to be a civil war or revolution. Now, I don't know, you know, if it's really going to be like a civil war, the way in which we think of a civil war, or a revolution, the way that we think of a revolution, but there's going to be a working to change that tide. One of the best things that I have heard from a communist group that I'm a part of, or associated with and learned from, is the term evolution. And the evolution is where you utilize the voting structure or the voting system in a legitimate way to overthrow the other powers that are in place. And so I think that what we would see is we would have maybe a third party or a divergence of a party, whether that's the far right or the far left, that would then get so strong and built up that it would gain control, whether it's the right or the left, gain control over the voting system, rather than civil war in the sense of us going out and killing our neighbors and fighting, because I have no idea what that fight would even look like, what that fight would be for. And I can't conceptualize it in my head. And as of right now, I do not feel that type of concept of a civil war or revolution is going to be accurate in the United States. Do I think that happens in other countries? 1,000%. It can happen in other countries that don't have such a strong infrastructure as the United States. But I guess it could still happen. And that's why I support the rights to everybody to have guns, missiles, nukes. I'm just kidding. I joke about that because I, again, am very far left-leaning. And the further the left you go, traditionally, you still are an advocate for guns. So I do frustrate a lot of liberals in that regard. But I am a big fan of people continuing to have their guns in case we need to overthrow whoever we need to overthrow. And that's just my personal opinion. Okay. And so when we look at this, we can see that the United States is in a place where we are in some type of that top or in that declining system. So there's a few things that could happen. We are going to either give up and move, someone else will come into power, or not, maybe not give up. We're not going to be able to get it under control. But if you know that the problem exists, then you can know to get it in control. And that's the reason why I'm educating us, is because the three biggest ones that I think on here for the new order, they have strong leadership. So we have to work to somehow get strong leadership in place. And unfortunately, the problem is I'm going to say that Trump's a fucking idiot. And then you're going to be like, well, Biden's a fucking idiot. And we have to come to an agreement that neither of them are strong leaders. And we have to decide on someone else that can lead this country. And on top of that, we have to look at strong leadership inside of our states. We have to look at strong leadership inside of our cities, because all of this can go to the macro level. You can even take all of these down to a family, strong leadership in a family, inventiveness in a family, education in a family, strong culture in a family, good resource allocation in a family, good competitiveness in a family, strong income growth in a family. We're looking at this like Ray Dalio thought, and Ray Dalio, I think, is a very intelligent individual. He's a fantastic investor. I love reading his books. But we're looking at this like this is some like amazing, amazing concept that he pulled out of the fucking air. I mean, this is just regular economic theory for the most part, but we're not going to go into that, which would be if you had a strong education from a university. Now, my point is that if we have strong leadership and inventiveness and education, if we can get back to those ones, those will fuel the 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. So if we can get stronger leadership in our country and in our cities and in our towns and in our states, and we can get inventiveness coming back up. Now, this could be just because I live in Arizona, but one of the things that frustrates the fuck out of me is that whenever any business opens, it's always food. Like, there are so many goddamn restaurants in this town, it is ridiculous, as opposed to doing inventive, fun shit, right? Or inventiveness in the way of moving stuff forward, whether that's through technology, applications, engineering, or whatever. And so we have to get back to creating new things in the world that didn't exist before and not inventing them just for the sake of getting the profit. We need to solve real world problems, create new solutions in the world. And those are the things that are going to create the things that are going to happen inside of that country or in that state or in that city or in that household. And so I think that that's really important. And to get to that, we need to have stronger stronger education, right? And so if we have strong, if we are telling all of our children to not go and get degrees, and we're telling our children that that's not the way to be wealthy, we have to wipe that concept from mind. It has nothing to do with wealth. It has to do with what are the things that you want to create in the world. There are things that you can create in the world, and you can still invest and save in life insurance policies, invest in other businesses, look at governance, and still be wealthy, and still go out and create and invent things and create new shit in the world. And we have to inspire that inside of our children, or we are not going to overcome being this. If we tell our kids that we don't want them to go to college, that we want them to do whatever they want, and it's not even so much that we want them to do what they want. If they don't want to go to college because they don't know what they want to do, that is a completely different situation. But if we're like, no, don't do this, do this to be wealthy. No, let them go and be themselves and learn and create and invent and the thing that they want to invent and create in and the thing that they love. And we need to inspire that, and we need to push that. And if we do that, we can continue our inventiveness. And again, even though the humanities, even if we think about strong culture in a country, right? That has to do with the arts and the humanities and the things that we learn. And to some extent, that does mean that we have to care for our country. But it doesn't mean that we have to have a flag on the back of our fucking truck. It just means that we have to have a culture within inside of the country itself. And that's one of the biggest things that are slipping, because people think that if you're patriotic, you're a fucking racist. And people think that if you don't have a flag on the back of your fucking truck, you're a fucking crybaby liberal. Those things have nothing to do with each other. One of the most beautiful things I saw in Connecticut was a town in Trumbull. We were walking down there, and I was walking in one of the streets, and a lady who was a Democrat probably had, you know, like these cool little like flags, you know, hung up on her outside on her podiums. I can't explain. If you saw it, you know what I would mean. They're like half circles. They have red, white, and there's a big star, and you kind of hang them up to be patriotic and shit. And so that's one of the things that I think was amazing, is that they were still patriotic, and we're getting too far apart from that we need to have a strong culture, and we need to have a strong culture in the sense of the holidays that we celebrate, the way in which we integrate them inside of the cities and the states, whether it's Christian, whether it's Buddhism, whether it's just Easter, it doesn't matter. We need to do a better, stronger job of having that culture inside of our country. And if we can do those things, right, if we can do the strong leadership, the inventiveness, the education, that will lead to the stronger culture, that'll lead to good resource allocation, that will lead to good competitiveness, that will lead to strong income growth, and that will lead to stronger markets and financial centers. And that's the way that we make it so we can still stay as one of the main countries in the United States. But we have to know this, and we have to work together to move ourselves out of it. And we can't do that with fucking Trump, and we can't do that with Biden. And this isn't a political message. It's not me saying that you have to believe all the shit that I believe. I'm saying that we have weak leadership, and we need to have much better leadership, because we have the wrong people in power. And if this is the best that we can come up with in the United States, then we're never going to keep growing and being the way that we are now. And that is one of the ways that you stay in power. I know that sounds bad ending it that way, but essentially staying in power. All right. So if we're not going to stay in power, well, I think that we still are going to, because I think we're going to get a lot of this stuff under control, because people are waking up to it. And I don't think people are going to take, I think if people educate themselves, they'll wake up to it. They'll start working towards these things. They'll start needing to build plans and inside of their households, inside of their communities. And again, that's one of the reasons why I'm like, you have to work with inside of your community as best as possible. It's super, super important. But if we look at this, I did some research here on artificial intelligence utilizing Microsoft Copilot plug. So go get Microsoft and go get Microsoft Copilot. Now, I don't have an affiliate link for Microsoft either, but I do own a shit ton of Microsoft stock. So the more Microsoft products you guys buy, the better my portfolio will be. And you should go buy some Microsoft stock too. Okay, so when I looked at this, I looked at three things. I looked for the income growth. I wanted to see what countries were creating their income growth. And the ones that come up, we had India, we had China, we had Philippines, we had Vietnam, we had Bangladesh, and we had Ethiopia. Now, that's just because they're growing, right? It doesn't mean that they have a lot of the strong leadership or the education. But there's a few that have come up here in some of the other questions that I asked. You know, what one of them, let's explore exhibits of strong leadership. The United States still came up with strong leadership. Now, people believe that Biden is a strong leader. I'm not saying that he's not a strong leader. Well, okay. I'm saying that he's not a strong leader of the leader that I would like to see in the United States. So that I'm saying that. I think that we could do a much better job from strong leadership. And I think that he was just a person that we utilized because we could beat Trump. But I think that the country needs to have a younger, stronger leader that's going to focus on getting the shit under control that we need to get under control in the country. And I think one of the biggest problems that the political parties do is they just blame the other party, one. And then two, the other problem that arises from it is that we spend time focusing on the stuff that's not important. It's important because we need people to feel safe and we need people to be able to be themselves in the United States. So I understand that. But we need to focus on giving Americans more homes and getting people more health, better health care, getting people more education, free education, better education. And even if it's not free, getting the fucking education lower, right? Those are the things that we need to focus on because those are the things that will continue to grow and create a great society for us. But the things that we argue about are the stupidest fucking things that I've ever heard in my life, guns and fucking gays. And so not saying, I didn't mean that in a negative way. So I apologize to the LGBTQ community, plus community, if that came out that way. What I mean is that let people be who they want to be. There's nothing wrong with that. Let people be identified how they want to be identified. Let women have abortions, okay? Let's get the cost of healthcare down. Fuck the insurance companies. And let's get the education down. Fuck how much we're paying for education, right? Though we're spending time focusing on things that don't matter, where we need to find ways to get people off of the streets so that they have fucking homes, so that they can live productive lives, so they can be productive members of society, so that we can grow and we can stay on top of our world power structure here in the United States. So apart from the United States, another one that has China ranks second among top 10 powerful countries. Its Belt and Road Initiative aims to boost economic development and trade by connecting Asia with Africa and Europe via land and maritime networks. And so one of the biggest things is if China is able to do this and connect the world together, then China has routes for all kinds of production throughout the world. And the great thing about the Chinese, at least in this case, they're super patient and they've been working on these things for a long time. And if they're able to do that, that will boost them even further as a superpower on top of the fact that China's rapid economic transformation over the past few decades has been remarkable. And we think, oh, it took 20 years. 20 years is fucking nothing in the scope of eternity of life, or until the sun destroys us or the universe fucking dies out, or God decides to come down here and kill us all, or whatever the case is. And so China's GDP growth rate has been consistently high, driven by industrialization, exports, and then their investment. Now they have had some cooling off of a period, but the thing is that Chinese, I guess, nationalism or communism in this case, communism, because it's got one political party and that one political party is driving the growth of China to become a world power. They have a strong culture. And so because of that, they're going to be able to overcome this. And so China's going to be the largest superpower here, in my opinion. Now, one of the things that China doesn't have is a super strong education system. It has a lot of people in the country that aren't educated. And because of that, it's going to need to figure out a way to fuel larger and higher growth of education rates, okay, including literacy, and including getting them all to speak some of the other countries that they'll be working with, because that will be easier for communication. And if they're able to do that, they will be able to grow their power a lot faster. One of the things that America has quickly fallen behind on is that we won't meet other people in their language. And so what I mean by that is that we want everybody to learn English. Instead, we need to learn those other languages so we could build strong relationships. And everybody on here is going to be like, well, fuck the Spanish or the Mexicans, because they're always coming over here and they're killing people. Well, they're not always coming over here and killing people. They're coming over here and they're spending their money and they're putting in the sales tax. And that's why Arizona's had such a great economic boom. Also is because the ridiculous amount of money that's going into the cities and going to the city governments from Mexicans spending their fucking money, or Central Americans or South Americans spending their money in Arizona. And we want that. And one of the ways that we can strengthen those ties is by bridging the communication between Mexicans and Spanish, by getting them to understand English and us to understand Spanish, not just them to understand English. And so if China can do that, they will even become even stronger because of bridging that communication gap. And then they will be able to skyrocket across Asia, Africa, and Europe, and they will just become the world dominant power, and then they can take over the world. And so the other one that came up here that I do want to note that came up for everything except for rapid growth, I think, is Germany. Germany has done something really, really powerful that I think Germany tried to do for a very long time, even through Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler tried to unite all of Europe under one Germany. And while he did it through terrible, horrible fucking means and horribleness, I think that Germany has been able to do that still because of their leadership in the European Union. And so Germany's economic prowess, technological advancements, and strong alliances contribute to its strong position in the world. So Germany has 4.59 trillion in GDP. So put that comparatively, the United States obviously has 28.78 trillion and China has 18.53, but Germany is like one of the third largest in GDP. In GDP, because it's in the trillions of dollars. And the fact that Germany is such a smaller country, and you know what, I shouldn't say that if we're ranking it by GDP, I don't know how this exactly ranked it when I did this. I don't want to say that they are exactly the third. I think that that's just a number that they put in there, but I think that it's one of the highest in GDP. Their population is 83.2 million. So when you compare to Russia, which has 144 million, and then GDP was half of that, Russia's also one that's really powerful. But the other thing that Germany has, Germany follows closely as the second best education in the entire world. So they have really good education. Germany has some of the best, I guess, technology and scientists in the world. And in fact, a lot of research papers and things that come out about new advancements in science are traditionally from journals that are in Germany, and they're in German. And so because of that, the country emphasizes both academic excellence and practical skills. So when we're looking at countries that have a really strong education, countries that have really strong leadership and have large GDP and have already essentially united themselves with the rest of the world as a main leader, I think that Germany is actually one of the countries here that's poised to become even a more dominant force into the future. So I think it's super, super important if we're going to be investing in some countries, if we're looking at this from an investment perspective, I think China's a really big one. Also learn Mandarin. And then Germany is a second one that's really, really important. I think that those two countries, and there's some other countries like India, and India has consistently shown robust economic growth. I have a new book that's coming here or should be here. Actually, you know, when is that book coming? I need to check when that book. I have a big book on India's economic system coming to me that I found from reading The Economist. And that's why it's important to read newspapers and journals. And I hope that that will get through to everybody because you can get good information. And so one of the best ways to invest in these countries are through ETFs. So I mentioned on my last podcast about exchange traded funds. So make sure that you invest in some of these countries. I would really strongly recommend investing in Germany, really strong recommend investing in Hong Kong. I mean, sorry, in China, in Hong Kong, and technically in Singapore, and even in Taiwan, which are Chinese. They're not Chinese countries, but they have a very large Chinese population. And I think that they do a really good job with the inventiveness and that growth. And then so Germany, China, and India, and then I would do South Korea. I think that those countries are some of the ones that are going to be some of the biggest in the world. They are some of the biggest in the world right now, but I think they're going to be able to maintain a strong economic position, even as some of these other up and coming countries come in. Again, China becoming even a more dominant power, possibly Russia becoming even more dominant power. If we look at some of the other BRICS nations, Brazil becoming a dominant power. So I think that we need to look at some of these closely, but I would really highly recommend Germany, South Korea, India, and China, if you were looking at investing in some foreign countries. And again, along with Japan, I think Japan has a lot of good stuff going on for it. But again, if we're talking specifically about this new world order, I think that those countries are going to be posed to be really strong in the new world order. So the other thing that I think that's interesting about this again, to go back to what we originally started with, is if you look at these factors and you try to grade them to different countries, you should be doing that on a regular basis, because that's going to let you know about the country's growth, the country's where it's going to sit as it becomes stronger economically. And that can be a great way to decide where to invest. And I think that that's another reason why it's important. Not to get scared that the America's going away or anything, but it's really good to put yourself in a really strong position so that you know where to invest in the future. And so on the next episode, I'm going to talk a little bit more about things that you can also do to prepare yourself for a new world order. And with that, as I always say, be thankful, grateful, and kind. We'll talk with you next time. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning into The Age of Jeremy. Please subscribe and like this podcast wherever you are listening to it right now. Share it with a friend. Share it with two friends. The opening song was Threatening. Sorry, the opening song was Brave Faces Everyone by Spanish Love Songs. The closing song was Threatening Each Other, Recapitalism by Illuminati Hotties. This was recorded with a Neumann KM-104, KMS-104, I think. And this on a Neumann L on a Zoom L8. It was recorded with Steinberg's Cubase, and it uses Waves plugins. And with that, be thankful, grateful, and kind. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.